Psalm 45 in the New King James Version, a contemplation of the sons of Korah, a song of love. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty. And in your majesty ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. All your garments are scented with myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces by which they have made you glad. King's daughters are among your honorable women. At your right hand stands the queen in gold from Ophir. Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also and your father's house. So the king will greatly desire your beauty, because he is your lord. Worship him. And the daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought to you. With gladness and rejoicing they shall be brought. They shall enter the king's palace. Instead of your fathers shall be your sons, whom you shall make princes in all the earth. I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the people shall praise you forever and ever. Now, Psalm 45, if you go to most commentaries or most places on the internet or wherever you get your extra understanding of Scripture, they'll tell you this is, or many of them will tell you, this is a song about King Solomon at his wedding. The editors of the New King James Version here have a better idea, the glories of the Messiah and his bride. Again, we of the Reformed faith understand the book of Psalms to be the hymn book given by God to the church of all ages. This isn't a collection of poetry from early Iron Age Middle Eastern kingdoms. For this to be a song about the wedding of a king and put into the hymn book of the church of all time seems a preposterous notion, first of all. Secondly, as we look at this, and we look at this understanding the imagery from the rest of Scripture, it becomes very clear that this is a book, this is the story here, this song, is the song of the Messiah coming to his bride, the church. Now, in the Old Testament days, I like to think of something as something, but when you read through this and you think of the time when the glory cloud came to the tabernacle, and then later when Solomon built the temple and was invested by the glory of God, this would be a very appropriate song for that time. It is said that this is from the sons of Korah, which make it, well, impossible to date, the sons of Korah being the Levites who were in charge of the Psalter all the way through the history of Israel. But it begins with the opening, my heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And then we have praise given to the king. He is fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon his lips, and God has blessed him forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty. And in your majesty ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. As we look through here, we see attributes which are commonly, almost exclusively, given to God. We see here the Messiah, again, this is Jesus Christ, who's coming to take his place with his people. Verse 5, your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. And again, modern Christians will tell us that this is pre-Christian imagery and it has no place in the heart and minds of a Christian, which you then ask them to explain Revelation chapter 6. Or half of Revelation chapter 19, which this psalm, by the way, if you have time today and you want to spend it profitably, read this in parallel with the 19th chapter of Revelation. It goes along very well. Not just goes along with it. Obviously, Revelation 19 is the New Testament fulfillment or culmination. Christ coming, the resurrected Christ coming in glory to take his bride. And this is the Old Testament in shadows and types, the cloud coming into the temple. As it moves on, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you. Now notice in verse 6 it says, your throne, O God. And in verse 7, therefore, God, your God, has anointed you. This should make us think about Psalm 110. Where we have, Lord has said to my Lord. We also see Psalm 2 in here, a scepter given to the hand of those who would, the hand of the one that would rule the nations. Going on down, starting at verse 10, which we'll be singing here in a little bit, 10 down, we have a charge to the church then, not to a bride getting married. Listen, O daughter, and incline your ear. Forget your own people also in your father's house. We are told to leave the world and join the church. We are told to become, well, to forget what we came out of and become a new person in Christ, so that the king will greatly desire your beauty, because he is your Lord, and worship him. And the daughter of Tyre, the people of the nations, even the Canaanites, will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. Goes on with the beauty of the church, then. The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. Now the clothing that was given to the bride was given to her by her king and bridegroom. The same as our clothing that makes us acceptable before God was given by Jesus in the covenant. We are washed and given clean robes to be brought before him. As in verse 14, she shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought to you. In this line we see a picture of Israel, think of the first century, being the church. But then the nations, seeing her beauty and loving her Lord, come with her before him and are accepted into the church as well. They shall enter the king's palace. And at the end, we see the continuity, the inheritance. It's the same as spoken to Jesus in the other Psalms, where his children, his sons will rule on the throne. Or said that to David, speaking of Jesus. Sorry about that. Instead of your father shall be your sons, whom you shall make princes in all the earth. I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the people shall praise you forever and ever. Those last two lines were not written about Solomon. We don't gather today to praise the name of Solomon in the people of God, in the church, in the body of Christ. But we do come to praise the name of the bridegroom, the one who has cleansed us and given us clean robes that we might come before the Father, that has adopted us out of the world, who has taken us from our Father's house, but taking us to his Father's house, that we might be saved, that we might be part of the greater covenant community. So, daughter, hear and heed as we sing Psalm 45C.